This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoofston with Walter Yerkew on 7-5 Radio. We are red hot and rolling. Today is May 28th, 2022. We are red hot and rolling this Saturday night. Walt, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm sitting by my pool and doing this, by phone tonight. I'm usually at the Southern Tennessee Studios, which has all the up-to-date equipment, but I chose to stay home tonight, gave the limo driver the night off, and told him to wax it for next week.
Wax the stretch key, I hope, not something else.
But hey, anyways, listen, whatever he waxes is his own business, as long as my limo comes clean next week.
Right, and that stretch Kia. But anyways, folks, our Southern Command studio has the equipment you've seen in the movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, which took place in the 30s. Special shout-out to the brave men and the woman from the Yonadosis, New York Fire Department, led by Little Billy Keebler. He is listening tonight. Fortunately, there is no meth labs on fires, and right now, there's no drunk drivers wrecking the pickup trucks out there. And as always, we want to remember the men and women of law enforcement who were murdered in the line of duty. Fortunately, tonight, we have no names to read off, so stay safe out there, ladies and gentlemen. I do want to remember two people who had a huge impact on my life. First, we want to remember actor Ray Liotta, who's been in dozens of movies and television shows. He got a big break playing Henry Hill in the movie Goodfellas. And he was also in The Many Saints in Newark, which is another mafia movie. But he was also in a number of other projects, including Field of Dreams, Blow, Hannibal, Wild Hogs. He was in a cartoon, a B movie. He was in he was a voice in a video game, Grand Theft Auto 5. And anyways, he was also in the hysterical comedy Observer Report with Seth Rogen, and is just a very, very good actor. And from what people are saying, he was an even better human being. So we're gonna miss him. I mean, Ray was a man's man. He wasn't woke. He was not there raising money for all these wacko leftist causes, so he'll be missed. Also, we want to remember Alan White, the drummer from the band Yes. Yes, to me, is one of the top 10 bands of all time. He was with the band for a long time. He's also with John Lennon's Plastic Ono band, but we won't hold him for that. But he passed away. That's why I keep saying, folks, if you have the time, if you have the ability to see some of these bands, especially if they have the original lineup, please go see them. I was fortunate enough to see Black Sabbath back in 2004 with all four original members. And I was able to see Robert Plant and Jimmy Page in concert twice. I was also able to see Ray Manzarek and Robbie Krieger with the Doors once before Ray passed away. And, you know, as time marches on, you know, these people are not going to be around forever. And it's, you know, just, it's sad, but, you know, it is what it is. Anyways, moving right along, I got some good news. Well, you know who or what State Farm Insurance is?
State Farm Insurance?
Yes.
With Jake, I don't use them,
State
but...
Farm. Anyways,
they were like twins. You know, they had, you know, the same mama, different daddies, didn't they?
I don't know. But we had white, two guys.
White Jake and Black Jake.
Right. Well, anyways, State Farm Insurance in Florida asked their employees to donate LGBTQ transgender books for school aged children from kindergarten to fifth grade. And the news got out and State Farm stopped this program where they're donating books for the LGBTQ kids to groom them. And people are canceling their policies with State Farm left and right. And every insurance company, they make their money when from premiums that we all pay for our cars and automobiles and boats. And they may, and if we, they get premiums and don't pay out, then they make money. But anyways, you know, once again, everybody says, once you go woke, you go broke. Look at Disney, look at and now State Farm, and as well as other companies. But anyways, getting down to business. If you turn on your TV, it's been all about Texas all day, every day. And our take on it is going to be a little bit different. And first, we'll talk about what the cops didn't do later. But first, I want to talk about the issue of the school shooting. Folks, we do not have a gun problem. We have a morality problem. We all know about that shooting in Texas. Some kid who had some issues decided to attack a soft target. He did not attack a police station. He did not attack a biker clubhouse. He did not attack a group of militiamen, so on and so forth. But again, it's too easy to blame the guns. It's too easy to blame the drugs. It's too easy to blame music, movies, television, things you see on YouTube, phones, whatever. You know, it's just too easy to talk about, you know, what possibly influenced people to shoot up schools. But nobody wants to talk about the loss of America's morals and values. Now, over 50 years ago, public schools used to have rifle teams. High school kids were practicing and competing with rifles inside the high schools. And guess what? You had rifles with live ammunition. Granted, it was only 22 caliber rifles, and nobody was shooting anybody. Nobody's getting shot. Nobody's doing anything. But they were competing with firearms. Anyways, so we had firearms in the schools. Nothing happened. Kids learned about Revolutionary War, Civil War, World War One, World War Two, and you had movies with Audie Murphy playing himself in the movie To Hell and Back, where in one scene Murphy gets on a Sherman tank and starts mowing down German soldiers. We've had numerous gangster movies, horror movies with actors Vincent Price in The Fly. We had John Wayne movies who were just violent as can be, and where he's always shooting somebody. We had the start of the James Bond movies in the early 60s. And, of course, Alfred Hitchcock movies, which is nothing but murder mayhem. And then television, you had Westerns. All the time, somebody shooting somebody, walking around with six shooters. You had the detective show where, you know, they try to find out who murdered somebody and so on and so forth. But you also had a stable nuclear family. People got married and remained married and remained together. But when we get back, we'll talk about the shooting in Texas, also the jackass of the year and another jackass. We are at 75radio.org, 75radio.org. Stay tuned, everybody.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules, a shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. Pete Scoop standing with Walter Yerkew talking about the shooting in Texas. We're talking about back in the day, you had violence on television, in the movies, and so on and so forth, and you had the rifle teams in our schools and nothing happened. Anyways, moving to present day, today, medicine and counseling replaced discipline. If a kid acts up or does something stupid, instead of a parent using a spoon or a switch or belt, the kid gets Ritalin and he gets counseling from the school. And if we yell at this kid for screwing up, authorities look at us like we're the bad guy, even though the kid's throwing rocks through windows or doing something they shouldn't be doing. Now, I'm not saying you should have to be Joan Crawford or Henry Hill's father, but if your kid acts up, make them realize that actions have consequences. They need to take responsibility. Another problem is that for far too long, parents wanted to be the kid's best friend, not the parents. That's why we now have boys going around just with girls and using girl bathroom, and girls want to be boys and so on and so forth. And, you know, of course, mainstream media does not help whatsoever. Now, imagine telling your father when you're in elementary or high school that you feel you want to be a female and you want to dress up like a girl. Back in our day, your father would make Bo Meacham from The Great Santini look like Ned Flanders. And folks, it's up to the parents' job to raise the kids. Not television, not your smartphone, and certainly not the schools. Anyways, we went from Ward and June Cleaver to the Kardashians. Now, while you and I have done things we're not proud of, but we do our best to make sure our kids are straight and on the path to success. I'm going through some things with my wife. She called me already again for the 15th time about some bullcrap. But guess what? I'm making sure my kids are on the straight and narrow. That's why, you know, parents need to get involved with their kids. Anyways, Walt, what do you have do you have anything to add to this conversation about the loss of morals and values?
You know, my mom was the disciplinarian in the family, you know, wooden spoons, you know, she went through wooden spoons like crazy, you know, a lacrosse stick every now and then, you know, a hockey stick, you know, back of her hand, you know, and my dad, you know, he was the, you know, look at you and raise that left eyebrow, and you knew. That if you breathed wrong, you know, he was coming out of that big ass chair of his. So people today, yeah, well, you know, my kids have done really well. You know, I was a disciplinarian, but, you know, never physical. It was always a good talking to and, you know, and get it straight. And, you know, and still, you know, my daughter's in her 40s, my son's in his 20s, and they know that raised eyebrow. You know, if the eyebrow goes up, you know, something's wrong. And it gets straightened out, it gets talked out. And, you know, they have the options, you know. You know, at that point, you do it my way or you don't do it. you know, you mentioned that, you know, parents were trying to be the kids' best friends and such. And it was a lot of immaturity because the marriage in I almost said the marriage industry. Well, it is an industry. It costs a fortune to get married. You know, marriages aren't what they were, you know, when I was a kid growing up. It was rare that there was a single parent household. It was rare that a two parent household with both parents worked, you know, and there was always somebody home. There was always supervision. And I hate to say of late, but it's been happening since the 70s where, you know, girls have been getting pregnant without being married younger and younger. And, you know, just watch Maury Povich. I mean, you know, he's got him on the show all the time. You know, these underage females that are pregnant. And then, you know, when he says, you know, Leroy, you are the daddy. The police should be there to lock Leroy up, you know, if he goes underage. You know, that don't happen anymore. If the girl gets pregnant, nobody presses charges. You know, statutory rape. If she doesn't get pregnant, statutory rape. If she gets pregnant, you know, you're supposed to get married. There's no supervision. There hadn't been supervision in the households. And, you know, the kids that are doing this, you know, you had those two kids in Columbine, Klebold and the other kid, you know, they were 17. Okay, so what were their parents doing in 1973, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8? I mean, 81, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Well, those kids were growing up. All right, now you got this character in Texas this past week. You know, he was 18. Okay, so he was born in 2004. What were his parents doing with him, you know, in 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13? You know, these are questions that we got to ask. Not what always put this kid to the do this thing, this horrible thing. And that, you know, that banana cruise in Parkland, you know, on Valentine's Day, you know, 4 years ago or so. You know, right. It's just so ridiculous. You got to see what the parents were doing and how the kid was being brought up. You know, like, you know, you mentioned medication and the school talks to them.
Right.
Medication works because you got to take it in order for it to work. But you just don't throw medications at somebody who is acting up, you know. And if you don't throw medications at them and he turns 18 and does a horrible thing like this. Well, I knew there was something wrong with that boy way back when he was about 7. You know, you hear stupid shit like, you hear stupid stuff like that. Nobody knows what I'm going to do when I'm 18, when I'm 14. Nobody knows. You know, they could speculate. You know, nobody saw me going to prison at the age of 30, you know, when I was 17. You know, nobody saw it. Hell, I didn't see it. It just freaking happened. You know, it just happened. You know, you can't control these things unless you have an extreme case of somebody who is disturbed. And parents are more inclined to say, no, my kid's not disturbed. Leave him alone. And they'll move somewhere else, you know, and not get their kid any help. And if they get them help, what are the parents doing in the meantime? Just giving them meds, or are they teaching him or her basic life lessons as they, reach adolescence? You know, so it's just so ridiculous. And then you have the guys, you know, like the Vegas shooter, there was a shooter here about, I don't know, 7-8 years ago, in a movie theater, not too far here, just south of Nashville. You know, same thing, you know, an older person, you know, an older guy, what midlife crisis did they go through?
Right.
And you know, they collected thousands and thousands of rounds of ammunition and they get them into a hotel, you know, and this is America, you know, nobody's allowed to search your bags when you're coming into a hotel. There's no x-ray machines or metal detectors when you come into a hotel. Nobody will go there. Even honest people won't go there. I know I wouldn't go there. I don't even want to go to the damn courthouse with them damn metal detectors. You know, treat me like a damn criminal. Or suspect me that I might be a criminal. You know, and most of the time criminals are standing on the other side of the desk violating your rights. But that's a whole nother thing. But, right. You know, you're absolutely right. You know, the institution of marriage, it went by the wayside in the 70s and 80s and the 90s. And it just, you got two parent households. You know, you don't have the kid, you know, being told by the parents, you know, the same thing. You know, the kid bounces off, you know, one parent. He's with one parent one weekend, the other parent the other weekend. And, you know, they try their best because they want custody. So they don't want to make waves. They don't want the damn court to get involved. And, you know, they just do whatever for the kid to make the kid happy. And when he turns 18, he's on his own. You know, there's no accountability by parents when the kid is 18. But what, like I said a few minutes ago, what did they do when the kid was reaching adolescence and going through his teen years? You know, how was the home life then? So, you know, you get somebody in pajamas and Crocs, you know, with a gypsy haircut saying, well, I tried the best I could with my boy, but he was just bad to the soul.
Right. But anyways, when we come back, I want to talk about the police response. Also about a couple of douchebags making news. Anyways, stay tuned. We'll be right back. Check us out, 75radio.org, 75radio.org. Take it away, boys.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott wants to know how police officers really responded to this week's school shooting in Uvalde. He's livid as new details have emerged about what actually happened as the 18-year-old gunman attacked the school, killing 9 kids and 2 adults. It was learned that a Border Patrol agent, not local police officers, took out the gunman. Local officers in Uvalde did not even engage the shooter. Colonel Stephen McCraw is director of the Texas Department of Public Safety.
Of course it was not the right decision. It was the wrong decision, period. There's no excuse for that.
It was also learned that parents who urged officers to take action were pushed back as gunshots were still heard. Barely 900 votes separate celebrity physician Dr. Mehmet Oz and former hedge fund CEO Dave McCormick in the Republican primary for U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania. A recount is underway in the Keystone State. This is USA Radio News.
Paid for by GovMint.com.
Have you heard? The United States Mint has issued the Morgan Silver Dollar for the first time in 100 years. Not only that, but they are also minted in 99.9% pure silver for the first time ever in history. Coin experts are calling this an amazing opportunity for anyone that knows the enduring popularity of Morgans. But you must hurry. Only 175,000 legal tender silver dollars were issued. These Morgan Silver Dollars are brand new, bright and shiny legal tender coins minted by the iconic Philadelphia Mint. Just call 1-800-888-7630 and you are guaranteed a new 99.9% pure silver Morgan dollar. The first time in history this has happened. But with limited quantities, you must call now to order. To learn more, call 1-800-888-7630. If you order now, you will receive a free collector bonus, a $25 value free with every order. Call 1-800-888-7630 now to secure your new Morgan silver dollars before they are gone. That's 1-800-888-7630.
Temperatures barely climbed into the 90s and only for a couple of days. However, the discovery of the bodies of 3 women inside a Chicago senior housing facility this month is leaving the city looking for answers to questions that were supposed to be addressed after a longer and hotter heat wave killed more than 700 people nearly 3 decades ago. The Cook County Medical Examiner's Office has yet to determine the causes of death for the 3 women whose bodies were found in the James Snyder apartments on May 14th. The victims' families have already filed or plan to file wrongful death lawsuits against the companies that own and manage the buildings. A settlement has been reached with families who lost relatives in last year's collapse of a Surfside, Florida condominium tower that killed 98 people. The $1 billion settlement to end litigation over the Champlain Tower South tragedy now awaits approval by a judge. Lawyers previously had announced in court a tentative agreement that the money would be split by the families whose relatives died or were harmed in the collapse of the 12-story tower. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back here to stand with Walter Yerkes talking about the shooting in Texas. I want to talk a little bit about the police response. Now, we usually don't armchair quarterback what other cops do. They only have seconds to react. And, I mean, they're only human. But with this situation, it's totally different. We learned from Parkland. We learned from Columbine. We learned from this theater shooting in Colorado. We learned all these other shootings, especially in schools, that schools are a soft target, number one. And number two, if you have one, two, or three cops there, guess what? You're the SWAT team. You're the tactical team. Go in and take them out. And they totally dropped the ball on this. I've learned from another agency about entering a building, doing a search for an active shooter. And these people totally jacked it up. It took an off-duty Border Patrol agent who was at his barber's at the barber shop about to get a haircut. His daughter's calling her text and saying, "Dad, we got a shooter over here." Borrowed the barber's rifle, drove over to the school, and took care of business. And law enforcement trying to cover it up, saying, "Oh, this is what we did. We were there. We were engaged the shooter," and it turned out to be full of you know what. But and then the parents, they wanted to go in and get the guy themselves. They had no weapons. They had no tactical vest. They wanted to go get their kid. And they totally just botched it up. You know, it brings black eye to law enforcement. Walt, what say you about the cluster that was happening in Texas?
I listened to that chief or sheriff or whatever he was from Uvalde. He was giving minute by minute activities of from the 911, you know, when the guy entered the building, 911 call. And then he said something that I had to replay it. He said that they call him something else. Down here we call him SRO, school resource officer. So I'll say SRO right. For argument's sake. He said the resource officer was driving around. He wasn't even on campus. The resource officer, the guy who's supposed to be at the door, the guy who's supposed to be the so-called, quote-unquote, as they call them, sitting duck, the one that's supposed to engage the shooter, wasn't even on campus. Let alone in his school, but even on campus. And there was, you know, the 911 calls are, you know, sometimes they're a little fudgy. And there was something with the funeral director, you know, down the street behind the school, engaged the shooter because of the rifle and such. Somebody from the school called about that incident. And he says the SRO drove over there, and of course the shooter was already gone. And inside the school, you know, inside those classrooms, I think it was 111 and 112, if I'm not mistaken. You're just firing away. The SRO was not even on his assigned foot post. You know, where the hell was he at 11:30 in the morning? Was he going for lunch, coffee? Because nearly the same thing happened in Parkland. The SRO, who was supposed to be at the door where the shooter went in Parkland, wasn't there. So, and I'm gonna bring in my own story about this. Some years ago, my son was allegedly in trouble in class, and I had to go down to the school. Okay, I went down to the school the next morning to talk to this lesbian vice principal, and with my son, to discuss, you know, what he did and what the outcome is going to be, you know. And, you know, the school, some of these principals are acting like they're freaking politicians, you know, like they're in charge of your life, and they're not. Anyway, there was a female deputy sheriff, you know, in her light blue shirt and her khaki pants, you know, her tight ass khaki pants with her Glock on the hip, you know, walked in with a donut and a cup of coffee and sat down. And this is 9 o'clock in the morning. And I says, why are you here? Well, I'm just here to make sure everything goes smooth. And I says, aren't you supposed to be, you know, like walking the hallways looking for a shooter if something goes wrong? She says, no, we're good. So, you know, I don't know why she was sitting in with me, but, you know, she was as arrogant as arrogant can be. And I didn't like it one bit. And she started to talk when I was discussing things with the vice principal. I said, this don't concern you. You got no say in this. So the SRO training needs to be trained, retrained, and retrained again. They get too chummy with the teachers and the faculty, and they end up having coffee when they're supposed to be out by the door or walk in the hallways. Now, I've seen it with my own eyes, all right? You know, the each school is assigned an SRO. Each school is assigned a car, you know, a marked sheriff's vehicle or police vehicle, okay? But that's just to get from the sheriff's office to the school, and at the end of the day, from the school back to the sheriff's office so you can go home. It's not to go pick up coffee and donuts because it's lunchtime. That's what pisses me off. Okay, so I don't like to dress down cops, but when they need dressing down, I'm going to dress them down. It's unfortunate that this happens, but I blame their superiors. And then when the spit hits the fan, like it did in Uvalde, you have this sheriff or chief in charge trying to give a minute by minute accounting of all parties involved and going through it quickly enough where most people are going to miss it. They're going to miss the discrepancies. We've locked down the airports. We've locked down the courthouses. You know, we've locked down so many places. Why is our schools getting attacked? Why are our schools getting attacked? And this thousands and thousands and thousands of schools all over our country. The personnel is out there. You just have to find the right ones that are going to do their job. And then move them in and out. Rotate them.
Right.
And when they get familiar with the surroundings, rotate them again. You know, I can't tell you how many times I tried to get out of the 7-5. If I got out of the 7-5, I wouldn't be sitting here talking on the radio right now. Okay.
Right.
I believe rotation with it from within works. And don't rotate them for a month. Oh, a month in the high school, a month in the middle school, a month. No, you rotate them for, you know, five months and then split, you know, the year in half and move them around. And then the following year, you have an entirely different staff to do the school patrol. Okay. This way, because, you know, down here, you know, they're all good old boys. They all know everybody, you know, or it's the high school that they graduated from 5 years ago. And, you know, now they're there with their teachers having coffee. You know, it's a bunch of crap.
Right.
It's a bunch of crap. You know, right. The sheriff, the undersheriff, and the second sheriff need to go and patrol these schools to see where the SROs are. Okay. We had captains, what we used to call shoe flies. They used to see where you were if you were on foot post. You know, a captain from another precinct or the borough commander drove around just looking to see if you're on your foot post or not, and he'd give you a scratch, which is his signature in the book that he found you on post, blah, 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 and everything was fine. Okay? We used to call them shoe flies. There is no supervision within the schools. There's none. I mean, how would it look if you're supposed to be sitting out front at a desk at the front door or patrolling, and your boss comes in and you're having tea and crumpets with the freaking vice principal. That's not what you're here for, officer. That's not what you're here for. You're relieved of your duties. Go to the precinct. I'll get somebody else to fill in for you. You know, it's got to start happening. It's got to start happening. You know, police, the police departments have become too lax. I mean, they took the police department away in Portland a couple of years ago, right? They ran them over. Then nobody knew what to do. So, you know, same thing with the schools. These people are taking over our schools, and they're killing our kids.
Right. But anyways, Walt, we're coming on to our third break. When we come back, we'll talk about a bunch of douchebags in America. Stay tuned, everybody. This is 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio Network. Check us out, 75radio.org. Take it away, boys.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to LocalHoneyMan.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at LocalHoneyMan.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
This is 75 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
Back. Hey, we are back. This is, once again, the fastest hour in radio. But anyways, the douchebag of the millennia goes to none other than Robert Francis Beto O'Rourke, a do-nothing multimillionaire who's running for office again. Early this week, Governor Greg Abbott and other leaders down at Uvalde was given a press conference. This is a press conference nobody wanted to give about concerning the shooting. So anyways, as Governor Abbott was talking, Beto O'Rourke, sitting in front, had to stand up and start yelling at the governor and the mayor and all these other officials at the press conference. And he made a real ass of himself. You know, we have children slaughtered at a school, cops processing the crime scene, these dead kids are sitting in a refrigerator locker somewhere, and this jackass had to make it all about himself. Now, granted, there's time and a place for debate, and I'm sure they're going to have a debate. We talk about it all the time, but not during a press conference, during a concerning murdered children. The work I had to realize this was a press conference on a serious subject matter, not the WWE or UFC. He's not like
talking crap before a match and so on and so forth. But, you know, you have the chief executive for the state of Texas delivering more bad news, and America is needing healing, not theatrics. Now, in Buffalo, you had Andrew Giuliani and Lee Zeldin, both running for New York State governor as Republicans. They offered his thoughts and prayers and condolences for the victims of the Buffalo shooting and let Governor Kathy Hochul do her job. And they did nothing. They didn't walk up to Governor Hochul and the state police or Buffalo police and start talking trash like, oh, your laws suck and this, that, and the other thing. But Rourke could have looked like $1 million and said that, you know what, this is not a political issue. He stands with Governor Abbott and will help any way he can, and that he supports Governor Abbott making sure everything is taken care of. And then, you know, we'll talk about the state of Texas at a later time. But no, he had to make it about himself. Well, you got anything about this douchebag of the millennium?
Just another, what we used to call in Brooklyn, just another jerk off that wants to hear himself, on the news, so he can tell his friends that probably don't even like him, you know, did you see what I did? Did you see what I did? Look what I did. That's all it is. He's just looking for 15 minutes of fame, no matter if it's good 15 minutes or bad 15 minutes. He just needs his name out there. So I believe Governor Abbott is on top of this. I think you're going to see changes in not so much changes. You're going to see organizational changes. It's going to be a protocol for SROs. Because they're protecting our kids, the future of this country. Sandy Hook should have been the teacher of elementary, defending elementary schools, again, they got complacent, they got lax, the old saying, well, didn't think it was going to happen in our small town, and it's just horrible. This character just isn't. He's not part of the solution. He's part of the problem.
Right. But anyways, hopefully, he's being backed by all these leftist pink commies that live outside of the state of Texas. Well, he'll probably lose again. But, for a guy who's got millions of dollars, he's got no class. Anyways, next jag off is none other than Colin Kaepernick. The National Football League must have just heard that the 13th Amendment was just ratified back in 1865 because social activist and mediocre quarterback Colin Kaepernick has worked out with the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, this is the same Yahoo who hosted the television special on Netflix comparing the NFL draft and combine with a slave auction. You had these huge dudes that looked like a weigh in or whatever at they do at the combine, then next thing you know, they're in chains. But Kaepernick said, you know what, let me try out again for the Las Vegas Raiders. Yep, but
slave trade,
So,
is that like the Mandingo Man when the German lady put a hands down a Thornton's pants?
I don't know what you're talking about, but anyways.
Oh yeah,
what
yeah,
Kevin, you'll have to send me a link. But anyways,
Mandingo, the movie, Mandingo Man, Mandingo Man.
I never seen Mandingo Man.
Google it, Google Mandingo Man German lady.
I'll Google it. But anyways, back to Kaepernick. Anyways. During the stupid special, he didn't mention that these men of color at the NFL draft will eventually become multimillionaires. They'll make more money than all of our families put together. But they didn't mention that. Also, he failed to mention some of the brothers that went through the draft in the combine, include none other than Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Ben Roethlisberger, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Eli Manning, Geno Smith, J.J. Watt, and countless other people.
So anyways, Kaepernick looks like a total phony, total idiot, which he is. And then you turn on ESPN, which is just black dudes just yelling at the camera, which is ridiculous. I don't know why they're doing it. They're just, you know, instead of saying, oh, Colin Kaepernick tried out with the Las Vegas Raiders, like, Colin Kaepernick has tried out with the Las Vegas Raiders. He hasn't been with the NFL in 5 years. Kaepernick made a bunch of statements in the past. You know, they're just yelling, and they're like just buffoons. Just everybody just yells. I mean, and you know what? You don't say, you yell a lot, but you're saying absolutely nothing. But anyways, Kaepernick, again, looks like a total hypocrite, total fool, just doing it for the money. You know, should we support the NFL or should not support the NFL? I mean, who knows? But, you know, they all make more money than any of us. So, you know, whatever happens, happens. I don't care. I don't watch football anymore. I haven't watched football in the longest time. I couldn't tell you who's playing, who's good, who's not good anymore. Well, you got anything else on Mr. Kaepernick?
No, just, you know, he's an extremist. You know, so some of the things that he's representing, you know, goes to the extreme, and it kind of perverts the point of what our Constitution stands for and what our Constitution represents and what our Constitution allows. You know, I get it, you know, when, you know, he was, you know, police brutality and such, and yeah. And they're, you know, relatively isolated incidents because, you know, our country is so vast. You know, there's so many, it's 350 million people, you know, in our country. And, you know, and each pocket has its own, you know, law enforcement. And here and there, law enforcement is going to, you know, screw things up. It happens. You know, it happens. But he took it to the extreme and became an extremist. Now, when you become an extremist, you just talk to talk. You try to convince yet more people. You know, when you have enough people, you know, that back, or if you need that many people to back you up, you don't know what you're doing. You know, me, I stand alone. If I got a problem with somebody, I don't start kneeling down during a national anthem. I don't start doing that. I go to the source. That's how we did it on the street in New York. That's how we did it in the dormitories in prison. That's how you do it. You go to the source and you take care of it. And that's how you do it. You don't just shoot your mouth off. Right. And that's what he did. He got to the point where, you know, like I said, an extremist. The next word for beyond extremist is, you know, is psycho. And that's pretty much what he did. You know, nobody wants to be, you know, you can respect, people can respect what he did. That's fine. That, you know, that's your right to respect or not what he did. But nobody wants to be associated, you know, with a psycho. You know, borderline extremist, but you know, when he went beyond that, it was ridiculous. And that was at the same time that the NFL and the Major League Baseball was ostracizing Tim Tebow because, you know, he would kneel and cross himself, you know, when he scored a touchdown or something. Either way you go, somebody's got something to say about it. And it gets to the point with the social media now that they call Tim Tebow an extremist. You know, they call this guy an extremist. And, you know, one is, one isn't. You know, you choose. But and that's your right.
Right. And what's funny is that, you know, he's talking about how bad it is for black people in America and this and that thing. You know, he grew up in an upper middle class setting with white parents. He was adopted, and now he's a multi-millionaire. That's pretty good. I'm a not even close to being a millionaire, but you know, it's you know, what's funny is that you got people who are successful in this country who make something of themselves, or they, you know, by the grace of God, they got, you know, they got whatever that they got. and they just crap all over this country. It happens time and time and time and time and time again. I mean, just look at Hollywood. Anyways, crap, and I have still more to go. But anyways, we've made it through another week. For Walter Yerku, this is Peter Scoopstead reminding you, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. See you next week, everybody.
Edwards for 75 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.